So instead of having adults or authority speak down to people, we train young volunteers to teach their peers. The fact that you really build the self-esteem of these young people that learn how to speak to others and to be basically the force of change, but also they know how to speak the language of their peers. They know what their real concerns are, and here we're talking about countering violent extremism or radicalization or various dangerous narratives. And these are primarily targeted at young people. So I think if we're applying the methodology of peer education there, I think it's really important to give a voice to the youth, both to express what their needs and concerns are so that we can cater to those directly, whether it's as governments or NGOs or other entities, and to give them the power to change things themselves. So give them the tools and give them the space and the resources and let them be the creators of the future.
So with both YouthCan and some of the organizations you are working with, what kind of qualities do you hope to instill in these young people?
Well, activism is one thing. We work with young activists, so the fact that one should be an active citizen and be engaged. We promote, I think, diversity and respect for otherness, empathy for others, dialogue, willingness to listen, respect for human rights.
Who is the target audience for the work that you're doing as far as, you know, age, where in the world, who are you trying to reach?
Facebook actually allows for very specific targeting of the audience, so it was possible for us to select people who are between the ages of 16 and 30 and who have liked far-right organizations or figures or media outlets that promote nationalist, Islamophobic, or anti-immigrant news. So for us, it was this, but it depends on what your aim with the specific campaign is. Yeah.
Do you have any ideas or suggestions as to how to reach people in areas that are a little less developed without as much access to the internet and social media?
So obviously social media campaigns would not work in those areas, but you can still have counter-narratives that work in person. And this can, for example, mean teachers that are willing to engage in dialogue and in conversation, because they really are the ones who have the biggest influence on youth in this time of development, certainly more than their parents. And they have the actual opportunity to speak to these people because they're in a classroom with them every day. So their willingness to address the concerns that their students have and to be receptive of any issues that they may have and just to show an interest in them as individuals is very important, because one of the things that can lead to radicalization is the feeling of alienation, that you're not part of society, that you're not included, and society doesn't care about you. And then you find as an alternative this extremist group which shows you loyalty and kinship and a meaning. They give you a purpose in life because you're contributing to something significant and fixing society, basically, in their terms. So just providing them better alternatives, basically. People don't just radicalize out of the blue. It's always out of certain concerns that are not being addressed by their communities, by their governments, by their surroundings, families, or whatever. And extremist groups provide what they are missing. So we need something to do this instead of them.